Brothers and sisters, it's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. The summer of 2000 at Ricks College has been both historic and extremely hectic. May I suggest that the announcement made by President Hinckley on the 21st of June concerning the future of Ricks College was not really about two-year nor four-year status, was not really about academic rank nor intercollegiate athletics, and was not really about a name change. The primary issue in President Hinckley's announcement was faith. The topic of my message this afternoon is the first principle of the restored gospel, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray for and invite the Holy Ghost to be with you and with me during our brief time together here this afternoon. Let me begin by emphasizing that the first principle of the gospel is not simply faith. Rather, the first principle of the gospel is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Saving faith centers in the Savior and through him in the Father. The faith about which I speak today is focused upon and rooted in the Savior and Redeemer, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, out of reverence and respect for the name of the Savior, and to avoid the too frequent repetition of his name, please keep in mind that as I now use the word faith, I am referring to the more accurate and complete phrase of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us begin by first asking the question, what is faith? The prophet Joseph Smith taught that faith, quote, is the first principle in revealed religion and the foundation of all righteousness, close quote. One of the clearest and most concise definitions of the principle of faith is provided in the New Testament by Paul in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Please join with me and turn to that verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It's a very short verse, but a powerful verse that we should all be familiar with. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we should note here that the prophet Joseph, in his translation of the New Testament, changed the word substance in this verse to the word assurance. And that's a very significant change. Thus, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The prophet Joseph further commented on this definition of faith in Hebrews, quote, "From this we learn that faith is the assurance which men have of the existence of things which they have not seen, and that it is also the principle of action in all intelligent beings." Close quote. Three key elements of faith then are highlighted in this verse from Hebrews and in the teachings of the prophet Joseph. Number one, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Number two, faith is the evidence of things not seen. And number three, faith is the principle of action in all intelligent beings. Let me underscore that third point, that faith is the principle of acting and action in all intelligent beings. Now let me describe these three elements of faith in another way. Faith in the Savior simultaneously faces the future, looks to the past, and it initiates action. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for, faces to the future. In the Book of Mormon, please turn with me to Ether, chapter 3, and we'll begin reading together in verse 9. Ether, chapter 3. Verse I must tell you how much I love the sound of all those rustling pages. Ether, chapter 3, beginning with verse 9. We find in these verses the Lord is conversing with the brother of Jared. In verse 9, "And the Lord said unto him, Because of thy faith, thou hast seen that I shall take upon me flesh and blood. And never has man come before me with such exceeding faith as thou hast. For were it not so, ye could not have seen my finger. Sawest thou more than this?" And he answered, "Nay. Lord, show thyself unto me." And the Lord said unto him, "Believest thou the words which I shall speak?" I emphasize the word shall. Please notice how the use of the word shall in verse 11 relates to the future. The Lord's question was not, "Believest thou the words which I have spoken?" Rather, the brother of Jared was asked to confirm his confidence in that which the Lord would speak before it was spoken. Thus, this future-facing element of faith fosters hope for things not yet obtained and grants assurance that they ultimately will be. Faith is inextricably tied to and results in hope. Thus, faith in Christ always leads to hope in Christ. This hope is much more than simply worldly wishing. It is expectation, it is anticipation, and it is assurance. The future-facing aspect of faith is reflected in our personal lives by the fact that each of us here today hopes that through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection, we can be raised unto eternal life. Each of us also has faith and hope that we can be a member of a forever family. Faith as the evidence of things not seen typically looks to the past. Truly, our confidence and trust in God are strengthened by examples and evidence of his influence in the past. This element of faith provides proof and confirmation that things unseen indeed are real. For example, many of our pioneer forefathers were protected, preserved, and strengthened in the most difficult and demanding of circumstances. The legacy of faith and testimony they left for us provides powerful evidence of things not seen. In a similar way, a young missionary called to serve in a remote part of the world and who may be understandably anxious about his or her service is fortified by the faith-promoting experiences of family and friends who already have served as full-time missionaries in various parts of the world. The combination, then, of future-facing hope and evidence acquired through experience produces action. Faith always is the beginning or the origin of acting. True faith always is manifest in faithfulness. This is why good works always flow from faith. As we read in James, faith without works is dead. Now, I'd like to briefly demonstrate how these three elements of faith operate, where it's both future-facing, looking to the past, and it initiates action. Before this devotional began today, I requested a volunteer from the audience. Her name is Sister Elizabeth Monson, and she's from Maryland. Elizabeth, would you please come join me up here? Let's have you stand, if you'll just scoot right over here, and face me. Sister Bednar is going to blindfold you. You trust Sister Bednar, don't you?
Yes.
Good. Have you ever met Sister Bednar before?
Not before this meeting.
Okay. And you and I have had occasion to be at a luncheon together, but you and I do not know each other well. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did we rehearse this before today's devotional?
No.
Do you know what's about to happen to you?
I have no idea.
Are you a little nervous?
A little bit.
Okay. Now, as I said, you and I don't know each other well. Do you trust me?
Yes.
You don't sound very sure.
I'm not sure about what you're going to do, but I trust you.
Okay. What I'd like you to do is put your arms to your side and make them very straight and very stiff. Okay?
Okay.
Now, you can hear that my voice is in front of you. What I'd like you to do, Elizabeth, is with your arms very straight and stiff. Now, don't do it until I say go. I want you to just fall straight backwards.
Oh my gosh.
I don't want you to bend your knees. You just have to trust me. You will not be injured. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Are you sure?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'll go 1, 2, 3, go. Don't clutch. Don't bend your knees. Just fall straight back. 1, 2, 3, go. Thank you. Let's take off the blindfold real quick. Okay, why don't you take that one off? What did you think was going to happen when you started falling backwards?
I wasn't sure.
Real loud so they can. You weren't sure?
Well, I knew somebody was probably behind there, but.
Did you hear them?
No.
But you hadn't seen them?
No.
How could you know there would be somebody there to catch you?
Because I trusted that you'd have someone there.
Okay. Thank you. Now, before she sits down, brethren, this is a very commendable young woman. Her last name is spelled Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N. We won't give out the phone number, but you'd be very wise to look it up. Can you see the elements of assurance? Now, did Elizabeth know, blindfolded, and just simply the instruction coming from me, Elizabeth, fall backwards. She did not know that someone was behind her to catch her, but she had the assurance that I would not allow her to be hurt. Only after she let go and fell backwards and was caught did she have the evidence of things not seen. And it was faith that was required to initiate the action of falling backwards. So we see those three elements in operation: assurance, evidence, and action. Now, brothers and sisters, frequently the words faith and belief are used interchangeably in our everyday conversations. However, the teachings of the prophet Joseph highlight an essential distinction between these two concepts. Remember, he emphasized that, quote, faith is the principle of action in all intelligent beings, close quote. Belief, on the other hand, is defined in our modern dictionary as, quote, the mental acceptance of and conviction in the truth, actuality, or validity of something, close quote. A belief is simply anything we mentally and intellectually accept as true. So, for example, we believe and accept as true the nature of the Godhead as taught by the prophet Joseph Smith. We believe and accept as true the restoration of the gospel in its fullness in these latter days. And most importantly, we accept and believe the reality of the atoning sacrifice of the Redeemer. In summary, then, belief is the mental and intellectual acknowledgement, acceptance, and assent that something is true. Belief only requires the mind. Faith grows out of and builds upon belief, and as we have just demonstrated, produces action. Faith is not merely a positive mental attitude, or a strong will, or a simplistic Pollyanna-like approach to significant personal and public problems. Brothers and sisters, having a big happy face on our bathroom mirror is not an indicator of great faith. Please consider again the explanation by the prophet Joseph Smith. Quote, faith is the principle of action in all intelligent beings, close quote. Faith is evidenced in deeds. And as faith is the principle of action, so the opposite of faith, which we typically refer to as doubt, is the principle of inaction. Thus, if you and I have faith in Christ, we accept and we live his teachings, and we accept and obey his commandments. If you and I have faith in Christ, we strive to live worthily, and we seek for the companionship of the Holy Ghost. We repent of our sins. We minister to the poor and to the needy. We carefully listen to and apply the teachings of the living prophets. And we do the works of righteousness. Faith in our prayers is evidenced only in part when we kneel down. More importantly, faith is reflected when we get up and work diligently to accomplish that for which we have prayed. Brothers and sisters, the true exercise of faith in prayer begins when we say amen. Whereas belief requires only the mind, faith ultimately requires all of our mind and all of our heart and all of our might and all of our strength. Consider the children of Israel as they were transporting the Ark of the Covenant under the leadership of Joshua. Now, please don't turn to this. I'll just summarize the story. But if you want to jot down the note, this story of faith is found in the third chapter of the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. The Israelites came to the River Jordan and were promised that the waters would part, or, as it says in verse 13, stand upon an heap, and that the children of Israel would be able to cross over on dry ground. Interestingly, the waters did not part as the children of Israel stood on the banks of the river and waited for something to happen. Rather, the soles of their feet were wet before the water parted. The faith of the Israelites was manifested in the fact that they walked into the water before it parted. They walked into the River Jordan with a future-facing assurance of things hoped for. As the Israelites moved forward, the water parted. And as they crossed over on dry land, they also were able to look back and behold the evidence of things not seen. We all need to remember that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. As President Boyd K. Packer has taught, quote, "Faith to be faith must center around something that is not known. Faith to be faith must go beyond that for which there is confirming evidence. Faith to be faith must go into the unknown. Faith to be faith must walk to the edge of the light and then a few steps into the darkness. If everything has to be known, if everything has to be explained, if everything has to be certified, then there is no need for faith. Indeed, there is no room for it." Close quote. I now want to briefly emphasize four fundamental truths about the principle of faith. Truth number one, we receive no witness or evidence until after the trial of our faith. Now, the tendency for most of us, the natural man or woman in each of us, is to expect first the evidence of faith before we receive and act upon the assurance of faith. This false pattern is summarized in the statements of individuals who say, "Show me a sign first, and then I will believe." Or, "First explain all of the reasons, and then I will follow." The Lord's pattern, however, is quite different. Seeing is not believing. Rather, believing is seeing. Now, this afternoon, we have already reviewed several examples of the Lord's pattern of belief and faith that leads to seeing and acting. Elizabeth was an example of this pattern, the brother of Jared and the Israelites at the River Jordan. I would now like to provide one additional example of how we receive no witness until after the trial of our faith. Now, if you look carefully, you can see that I'm standing in a very small beam of light. As most of us pray, wishing to have first the evidence before the assurance, we might say something like this to Heavenly Father, "Father, move the light, and then I'll take a step." That is not the exercise of faith, but that's often what we would hope for. I stand here, do nothing, expecting the light to move. And then I want to go scurry and jump into the light. Brothers and sisters, this is not the Lord's pattern. I stand within this light. Do you remember the statement by President Packer that we must walk to the edge of the light? Do you remember the words from the first verse of Lead Kindly Light? When Brother Brower sang, Teach me to walk in the light. We come to the edge of the light. The Father says, David, take a step. When your heel hits the ground, the light will move. So I go and the light moves. But it doesn't move until my heel hits the ground. Then my way is illuminated a bit farther. I come to the edge of the light, I would take that same step. In each instance, we must first step before we can expect the light to move. As we walk to the edge of the light, I testify and promise that the light moves. When I was your age and wondering some of the exact same things that you are now wondering, I never would have imagined that someday Sister Bednar and I would be at Ricks College, serving as we are now serving. Brothers and sisters, I know the light moves as we walk in faith to the edge of the light. Truth number two, faith is a gift from God. Faith is not a trait to be developed, nor is it a reward to be earned. Rather, it is a gift we receive from God. Scriptural synonyms for faith include trust, confidence, and reliance. Thus, the spiritual gift of faith enables us to trust in Christ and to have confidence in His power to cleanse, renew, and redeem us. Faith means we are beginning to rely upon His merits, mercy, and grace. Indeed, you and I have a responsibility to appropriately seek after this gift, and we must do all that we can to qualify for the gift of faith. But ultimately, this gift is bestowed upon us by a loving and caring God. Elder James E. Talmage indicated in his classic book, The Articles of Faith, that faith is a gift from God. Quote, though within the reach of all who diligently strive to gain it, faith is nevertheless a divine gift and can be obtained only from God. As is fitting for so priceless a pearl, it is given to those only who show by their sincerity that they are worthy of it and who give promise of abiding by its dictates. Although faith is called the first principle of the gospel of Christ, though it be in fact the foundation of all religion, yet even faith is preceded by sincerity of disposition and humility of soul, whereby the word of God may make an impression upon the heart. No compulsion is used in bringing men to a knowledge of God. Yet as fast as we open our hearts to the influences of righteousness, the faith that leads to life eternal will be given us of our Father. Close quote. President Joseph F. Smith also has taught, quote, faith is always a gift from God to man, which is obtained by obedience as all other blessings are. Faith does not come without works. Faith does not come without obedience to the commandments of God. Close quote. May I simply suggest that young people of your age can and will and do receive this supernal gift. You need not be called to a visible or responsible position in the church, and you do not have to be old to qualify for this gift. An 18-year-old student at Ricks College can and should be blessed with great faith. Truth number three, obedience strengthens faith, sin and wickedness diminish faith. The Holy Ghost delivers the spiritual gift of faith. Obedience and righteousness invite the companionship of the third member of the Godhead. Sin and wickedness and rebellion repulse the Holy Ghost and make it impossible for Him to deliver spiritual gifts. Can you begin to see why our covenant to obey the commandments and our commitment to live in accordance with the honor and dress codes are so important? The standards at Ricks College are really not about hemlines and hairstyles. They are about honor and integrity and inviting the companionship of the Holy Ghost to bestow upon us the spiritual gift of faith. Truth number four. Faith typically is evident over time in many small events and things, rather than in a few big events and things. We frequently think of faith in connection with mighty and miraculous events, such as moving mountains and parting seas and raising the dead. It is important to remember, though, that faith typically is evident in many small events and things rather than in a few big events and things. It is also true that faith usually is bestowed upon us a little bit at a time rather than all at once, line upon line and precept upon precept. Have you and I ever been frustrated in our efforts to exercise faith in prayer because we expect a really big answer, and we expect it right now? We may mistakenly conclude that because no answer came in the first few moments after saying amen, that our prayer was not heard or that no answer was given. An answer to a prayer frequently is made up of many small answers given over a period of time, line upon line, precept upon precept. And I have also learned that those small answers almost always come as I am working to accomplish the things for which I have prayed. I may first receive a small spiritual prompting of assurance to proceed in a particular direction, then a small spiritual nudge to adjust my course, and finally, a growing confidence and confirmation that the pathway I am pursuing is in accordance with the will of the Lord. Answers often come gradually and are more like dew distilling from heaven than a sudden flash flood. My faith in the Savior and His atonement has come from countless small and seemingly insignificant conversations with members of the church who have felt of His redeeming love. I too have felt that love. But I personally have not had a singular or a defining experience that is the foundation of my faith. Rather, my faith is strengthened by a diligent home teacher who recently shared with me the experience of being prompted to say just the right thing at just the right time to assist a family in need, by a Sunday school teacher who excitedly described and testified about the experience of teaching by the Spirit a group of young men and young women, and by a returned missionary who acted upon a simple feeling that resulted in finding and teaching a golden investigator. Brothers and sisters, can you tell that in these simple experiences, I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me? I hope we leave this devotional assembly today with the assurance that we have faith and have experienced the blessings of faith. Remember, faith is evident over time in many small events and things rather than in a few big events and things. I conclude now with an experience Sister Bednar and I had with President and Sister Hinckley. We were eating dinner together at a banquet in Salt Lake City shortly after President Hinckley had returned from a very demanding international trip. During the course of our conversation, I asked President Hinckley this question. President, given your travel schedule and the demands of your office, how do you keep up? He smiled warmly and responded, David, I do not keep up. I travel through so many time zones that when I am supposed to be wide awake, I am sleepy. When I am supposed to be sleepy, I'm usually wide awake. The paperwork and other demands in the office are never ending. He then smiled at me and said something I will never forget. But David, I just keep going. Brothers and sisters, can you and I hear and recognize and feel the faith in that answer by the president of the church? When he is tired, he acts and just keeps going. When circumstances look difficult and discouraging, he acts and just keeps going. Regardless of the challenge, he acts and he just keeps going. In light of this episode with President Hinckley, please consider once again the statement by the prophet Joseph Smith, quote, faith is the principle of action in all intelligent beings, close quote. Brothers and sisters, I know, I testify and I witness that God, the Eternal Father, and His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, live. I know that faith in the Savior is a gift from God and is a principle of action. I also know we can be blessed with this gift as we make and keep sacred covenants and as we are obedient, that we may diligently and properly seek for this sacred gift is my humble prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.